Live from the Average Joe Nation studios in St. Clair, Missouri, this is the Average Joe Podcast, a show that proves that in this crazy world, a combination of common sense and a C-plus average is actually a superpower. Sure, he's crazy, but what if he's right? Please welcome your host, Damon Gilbert.
All right, I'm back. It's, what is it? September 19th. It's a Monday. And I'm back. I took some time off because I just had enough of this. I mean, sometimes, you know, when you do something too much, even if you enjoy it, it gets to the point where, you know, I just need some time away from this. Because it is. Sometimes it can be depressing. I know it is for me. I imagine it is for anybody. You just get tired of it. All the bull that goes on. And especially with the Queen dying, I thought that would be a good time to take some time off because it was going to be, you know, Queen Elizabeth 24/7. And it still is. She's being buried today. So maybe this will start to wind down a little bit. But one thing I did want to talk to you about before I get too far into anything else, and what we're going to do today, we don't have one particular subject to talk about. I was just going to go over a bunch of them that have been happening over the last few days. And we'll just go from there. I'll probably just do a recap on some of this stuff. It'll be basically like I'm doing the news for the whole thing. But one thing I did want to talk about, and I took a little drive this morning. I went and saw my parents. And I don't get on the road very often anymore. I mean, I was a truck driver for a lot of years. And the further I can stay away from driving and the road, the better off I am, both mentally and physically, as far as I'm concerned. And I tell you what, my hat's off to anyone. My wife drives into the city once a week. She works from home. Other than that, she drives into the city once a week. And when she gets home, she's in a horrible mood. And I don't blame her. The driving skill level that's prevalent in America today is basically non-existent. And I say that, I'm not saying that my generation were the best drivers in the world. That would be stupid to say that. What I'm saying is that the skill level has dropped off massively. I mean, for one thing, think about it. What would be the best theft deterrent system you would have in a car? What would be the best one? You know, some would say the electronic part. Others would say maybe you got the club on your steering wheel. No, honestly, the best deterrent to car theft that you could possibly get in a vehicle is to buy one with a stick shift, something's got a clutch in it, because no one knows how to drive it. Very few. And that just tells you what's happened over the past 20 to 30 years. Our skill level has dropped. And here's the thing. I went uptown. I took a, and I'm not looking for this. These are blatant violations right in front of my eyes. Right in front of my eyes that may or may not affect me, but affect someone, or possibly could. Not only to keep traffic moving, but to be safe. I mean, honestly, the main thing you want to do when you get into a car is you want to arrive at your destination in one piece, right? Nothing else. You just want to make sure you get there and you get there safely. Well, apparently in today's world, you can't do that because I'm not going to go into all of them, but I would say I took a 15-minute drive, 15-20-minute drive. Some of it was on the highway, some of it was in a town. The violations and the absolute disregard for rules was amazing. And it tells you a lot of what you need to know about society as a whole. These people, the people that are driving today, they're either too old, because we are living longer and people are keeping their cars longer. I saw that. People who are absolutely, my parents would be included in that group, they should not be driving. Now, what do you do about that? Well, it's really hard to do anything about that if they're still capable at some level, depending on how far they go. My father, for example, he's a horrible driver. Horrible. He doesn't run into anything, but he's terrified to do it. So he just drives to town and back. That's all he does. He doesn't get on the highway. He's not stupid. He knows better. And he knows he's a bad driver, which I will say, in respect to him and that is good that you know. It's kind of like being an alcoholic. Once you know you have a problem, then you can work on it. But the level of the skill level of the normal, I guess, from 16 to 25, maybe even to 30 today, is just absolutely, it doesn't exist. These people don't know anything about driving. And the problem is, here's what happened. Because we took, and I've talked about this before, and I hate to drive it into the ground, but you see it every day. It's not like I'm going out looking for a fight. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm going out looking for this. I had no indication, no plan to talk about this today whatsoever. I really didn't until I drove to my destination. And I was just flabbergasted at what some people will do. The skill level has dropped to a point where and here's the problem. The reason the skill level has dropped is because the people of today, these kids today, and I know I sound like my grandpa, kids today, you know, yeah, no. What I'm saying is the legal drivers today have been taught by the legal drivers of yesterday, which were a generation behind me, okay? So they're teaching their kids. Well, I can tell you for a fact, having driven over probably 2 million miles accident-free, that if you want an assessment of your driving skills, you need to ask someone like me. You really do. You give me 20 minutes in a car with you, I can tell whether or not you can drive and whether or not you should even be behind the wheel. I've been through the Smith system so many times it'll make your head spin. Now, mind you, 2 million miles of driving, and I've had zero accidents. And that means driving just about anything that had wheels on it. Tankers, doubles, flatbeds, single trucks, you name it. I ran the gauntlet other than a school bus. Never drove a school bus, never have any intentions of driving a school bus for many reasons. Children being at the top of that list, loud children. But my point being, the people that I grew up with, I knew they didn't know how to drive. I used to ride with them. I've got relatives that can't drive, that are just an absolute menace on the highway or on the roads. They drive too fast. They're distracted. They don't change lanes correctly. It just goes on and on. I know I'm 7 minutes into that, and this is a rant about terrible driving. But you tell me that's not true. The people of today, the children of today, who are terrible drivers, are being taught by even worse drivers. That's not a good way to do this. There's a fortune to be made if someone would come up with a driving school that a parent could send their kids to. They'd make a fortune. I had a friend that talked about that for years. And now we're too, he and I, we've talked about it before. We're too old to start that. But that is absolutely something that's necessary in this country. Driver's Ed has gone the way of the buggy whip. No one does it anymore because we'd rather have asphalt or astroturf on our football fields rather than teach our children how to drive. And then we wonder why a 16-year-old gets killed in a car wreck out on a back road somewhere and maybe takes a couple of his friends with him. We wonder why that happens. Well, I can tell you why that happens, because no one, and I mean no one, and I say, I'm painting with a pretty wide brush there, the majority of people in America do not know how to drive correctly, and they don't do it safely. And that's not a slam at anyone. You can only do what you were taught, okay? Because I always go back to this. When I was a young kid, just turned 16, what's the first thing you want to do when there's some snow on the ground? What's the first thing you want to do as a kid, as a boy? I want to go out and drive it. I want to see what happens. So what I mean is, the reason there's a difference between the sexes as well. Females are not as good as drivers. And I know I'd get some flack for that if you people could talk back. I understand that. But hear me out on this one. Hear me out. Boys will do things that girls won't. They're more brazen. They're fearless. Okay, so when there's snow on the ground, I used to take my car out and I'd go down the road, or I'd be in a parking lot somewhere, and I'd slam my brakes on, just to see what the car would do, or I would try to make a turn and see what the car would do in snow, or when it's raining, I would push the accelerator to the ground just to see what would happen, the reaction the car would give me. And when you do that, you learn from that. Your body learns, and your brain It puts all that information in place, and then when that actually happens on a real incident, you know, you kind of have an idea what to happen, what to do. And I use this as an example. I don't know how many times I've heard this. One car accident. Someone runs off the road on the right because they were probably distracted, or they were talking to their friend, or they were taking a drink, or they were sneezing, or they were reaching for their cell phone, or they were changing the station on their stereo, or any number of things could happen. So suddenly your car goes off to the right and it starts making noises and starts jumping around. What's the first thing a kid does? They whip the steering wheel back to the left because they want to get out of that situation. Okay, that's called overcorrecting, because what will happen is the front tires will lose contact with the ground and the car will probably flip over. I heard it, I don't know how many times I've read it in the paper. One car accident, overcorrected, flipped over, and went in a ditch. I mean, a lot of people don't, you know, many people survive those crashes, but the point I'm trying to make, and I know 11 minutes into this thing, I know, this is a rant, bear with me. I mean, I'm trying to make a point here that I think everyone will agree with. The problem is, if that happened to me many times, and I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just not. I'm as far from perfect as they get. But the one thing I did know, and the one thing I did have a tendency to be able to do, I could drive. So I'm drinking a beer, I'm doing whatever. I'm you know, cell phones were non-existent back then. I'm putting an 8-track tape into my dash or whatever. Right tire goes off the road. What do? I stay off the road and I slowly bring it back until it kicks. And I did this many times. The problem is that no one has taught these kids how to do this. And I find that a failure on our part as a society. Cars are where it's at. Automobiles are where people get from point A to point B. You can slice it, you can dice it, you can talk about electric cars, all that nonsense, whatever. The point is, it's still round wheels going down the road. And if you don't know how to drive it, I don't care if you've got a hydrogen car, an electric car, I don't give a damn if it runs on nuclear energy. You're still going to wreck the damn thing if you don't know what to do in a crisis. Same thing when I see it all the time when it rains a little bit. Just a little bit. You know what I'm talking about. Inevitably, there will be an accident out on Interstate 44 near my home. Almost always. Especially if it hasn't rained in a while. Why is that? Because people don't know how to drive in it. They don't know how to take that, how to be safer. Same thing when it's raining hard. I don't know how many times I've been on the highway and a car will blow around me. It's pouring down rain and they'll blow around me on the passing side. You do know what hydroplaning is, right? I've seen it many times. Cars in the middle of a medium. You know, people do not know how these automobiles work. It really is sad, and I think a lot of lives could be saved if we just put an effort into teaching our children how to drive. And I'm telling you, parents don't know, and it's not their fault. They just don't know. You can't teach something if you don't know the skill either. I mean, I couldn't go out and teach my kid how to be a carpenter because I've never been a carpenter. I can drive a nail through wood into another nail. That doesn't make you a carpenter. Same thing with driving. Because I can get from point A to point B, that doesn't make me a good driver. It just doesn't. Arriving safely in one piece does not mean you're a good driver. So, again, I'm 15 minutes into this thing, and I apologize for that. Because really, there's not a whole lot to talk about today. We're going to go through some things. I mean, the Queen's funeral. Anyway, getting back to the driving. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. If you follow what I'm saying, just nod your head, okay? Children today, teenagers, are being taught by people that don't know what they're doing. My advice to you, if you've got kids that age, find someone who's a professional driver and pay him. Have him go out and teach your kid how to drive. It will pay dividends in the long run. It really will. Because kids are going to do stupid things. They really are. Boys especially. How I ever lived is beyond me. I really don't know. But again, I took chances that I probably shouldn't have, but I learned from those. I wouldn't recommend that being the way to do it. But I see these little girls driving with their cell phone and they're talking, and there's three or four of them in the car, not paying any attention, don't use their signals, turn in lanes that they're not even in. It just goes on and on. So anyway, I'm done with my rant. I really am. Again, I apologize for that, but I think you get my drift. The problem, the government, the federal government, they tell you they care about children. The Democrats, the Republicans, we all kill it. That's our greatest asset, isn't that what they call it? But they're not willing to pay for it. They're not willing to help. Look at what happened. We have a mass shooting. What do? Instead of putting a police officer, an armed man in each school around the country, we're not going to do that. We're going to give $44 billion dollars to Ukraine. That's our priority. So don't let them kid you. Anyway, let's see, 15, 16 minutes into this, and that's as close as I've gotten to what I wanted to talk about. Driving, not to belabor the point, but driving is one of my, because I did it for a living, it's one of my pet peeves. It really is. And we'll talk more about that sometime when we got a little more time, because I don't want to go into any details, but it's one of those things that kind of gets me fired up. Queen's funeral. Okay, everybody's going. Everybody's there. It's the place to be. We've got tears of, I don't know, joy from Charles, or tears of sadness. Who the hell knows with that psychopath? It's hard telling. All I can tell you is that England right now has got their hands full. They really do. You've got a lunatic in charge. Even worse, I believe, than we've got in the United States right now. And that's hard to compete with. But, and fortunately, it's just more of it really has no power to speak of as far as Parliament and all that. But Chuck's an idiot. He's not going to be in that position very long. I imagine William will be the one taking over in probably the next 5 to 10 years. Chuck's going to get too old. William's the one you got to watch for. I mean, if he's a New World Order, if he's not New World Order, you haven't seen it. Okay, Great Reset, World Economic Forum. That guy's on board with that. So William, he's steely-eyed and he is evil. So, and Chuck's just a moron, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, he's into the green agenda and all that stuff. That's all good and fine, but at the end of the day, you're just kind of a doofus that happened to be in the right place at the right time. So as far as I'm concerned, the Queen's funeral is more of a yawn fest. I mean, she was a good old gal. I give her that. I respected her. I think it's a end of an era. It really is. I mean, when you think about the women that were in politics for years, I mean, you got your Margaret Thatchers, Golda Meir from India. You've got Israeli prime minister. Maybe that was Golda Meir. Yeah, I think it was. But anyway, my point is, there are a lot of good women out there, a lot of classy ladies that were involved in politics for a long time. And that era just died with her. That's it. It's done. And don't give me none of that Hillary Clinton crap. That woman's as evil as they come. And she's terrible what she does. She's not a very good politician. And I mean, as far as people liking her, I don't think you would have the turnout that the Queen had if Hillary Clinton croaked tomorrow. I mean, you just wouldn't. No one likes her. And we'll talk about her in a few minutes. I just wanted to make this announcement, and I don't know if you caught this the other night or last night, but apparently the COVID pandemic is over, according to Joe Biden. And I was listening to his 60 Minutes interview, and I got to tell you, folks, and I've said this over and over again, to the point of, you know, risking sounding like I'm obsessed with this, but folks, I don't know. Do you know any Democrats? Are you friends with any? People you do for a fact know are hardcore left-leaning liberals. Do you know any of those? Do you hang with them very often? Because for the life of me, I don't know how, in a world where sanity is at a minimum, I mean, the amount of sanity that's out there in the world right now is very low. We're our red light's on our dash when it comes to sanity. It really is. We're about out of it. And as far as common sense, we ran out of that a long time ago. We that was the last tank full. Then we're right now sanity is we're below the quarter tank mark. We really are, because these people, I don't understand how you could defend any of this that's going on today. Any of this stuff that's Biden saying, and I'm not talking about his moves internationally or any of that. I'm talking about just carrying on a conversation. How you could support this guy is just beyond me. It really is. I would love to be able to have someone defend this to me. I really would. I would love to hear something. They won't do it. They won't do it. All I can tell you is that Trump was a bad guy. Okay, fine. What if I agree with you? What if I agree with you? I say, yeah, Trump was a bad guy. And, but Trump's a bad guy. Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. But your guy is saying crazy stuff. He said that just last night. I mean, for instance, say I'm sitting across from one of these people that you know and I know, and they're talking about Trump. And I say, yeah, but last night your guy said that we would go to war over Taiwan with China. Think that's a good idea? And what you'll get is that stare, and they'll say, but Trump was a bad guy. Yeah, I got that. I got that. I wrote that down. I got it on a piece of paper here. Trump's a bad guy. And I'll even sign it. I agree. Okay, we're past that now. What about Biden threatening to go to, start World War III on 60 Minutes? Do you think that's a good idea? Now, the White House has walked it back, that the U.S. would go to war with China. They've walked that back. They had to go out. I guarantee you that somebody was standing there looking at a monitor. And when Joe said that, they literally put their hands over their eyes and said, oh my God. Yeah, exactly. You can't do that. You can't say you're going to go to war with China over Taiwan. The United States officially does not recognize Taiwan as a sovereign country. You understand that? You understand that? We walk a really fine line. We're kind of in a gray area on this. We like it because it's democratic and they make all of our semiconductors. We like that. But we also like China because they make our stuff for free. Well, cheaply. We like that too. And most of America, most of the high and mighty are invested heavily in China. So we've got this issue here. We got it. It's a balancing act we try to make. And what's Joe come out and say? That we'll defend them if they're attacked by China, if they're invaded by China. And that Scott Pelley from CBS actually asked him again, just to make sure he was clear on this. You're saying that we will go to war and we will send our young men and women to fight if China invades. Yes, he said. There's no doubt about it. Now again, fact checkers they'll ignore this. Now, let Trump say something like that 6 years ago, and they'd have been all over him. That's all we'd talked about. The fact checkers have been coming out of the woodwork. But nobody says a word, okay? And I don't know how you defend that. I mean, and then we go on to, he also claims that inflation rate's hardly up at all. I don't know about you, but I'm sitting across the table from a liberal. I'm going, is inflation up or, Trump's a bad guy. Yeah, I know. I got that. Here's that piece of paper. I wrote that down here. And I agree with you. Trump is a bad guy. But see, Trump's not in charge anymore. So what do you think about these statements by Joe Biden, the president of the United States right now, who, by the way, stole that election? Don't let anybody kid you. 2020 was stolen. There's no doubt about it. I don't want to get into that. And obviously, I will not be able to place this on YouTube because I've got another strike. I said something, 4 months ago? I guess they're going back in my archives and digging stuff up because I think I've got two strikes now. I said something about the 2020 election a long time ago. It was long before I had the first strike. It's the most convoluted system I've ever seen. They'll leave these things up there for months, and then all of a sudden, I don't know if somebody listens to it or you get a complaint or what, they take it down. And then they warn you about it. But anyway, we're sitting across from this liberal, someone you know, someone you may even love, someone who you always thought was smart, and maybe had an IQ above 100, and they're defending Joe Biden when he says things like this. Inflation is at a 40-year high. There's no getting around that. The math doesn't lie. These numbers are coming from the government itself. So when he stands up there and says the inflation rate is next to nothing, I don't know how anyone, and I'm speaking to the person across the table from me who's from the left, I would say, honey, how would you defend that? Do you think he's right on that? And what will they say? Trump was a bad guy. Trump's a bad guy. Yeah, it's Trump's fault. That's what they'll tell you. I don't know. I don't know how anyone, especially after this whole thing with DeSantis sending those refugee or the illegals, and I don't care how anybody, I don't care who that pisses off, they're here illegally. I don't care how you want to slice it. You can name it whatever you want. I don't care. But when I talk about them, and the people I know talk about them, they're illegal immigrants. There's no getting around that. That's who they are. If they come and they go through the process legally, I think it's great they're here. I really do. Central American people, best workers you'd ever get. Mexicans, they don't know the word not go to work. They don't know how to not do that. They're here to work. And they will be a positive thing for the United States in the long run. I'm sure all these very same things were said about the Irish and the Scottish and everyone coming from Europe during the turn of the century, the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th. Sure they did. Yeah, they hated the Italians. Chinese were over here. Everybody hated them. They were abused. All that. That's fine. I mean, I understand what you're talking about. But at the end of the day, they all turned out to be, well, not all, but I mean, it helped America in the long run. Because I tell you what, right now we have some serious issues with our demographics. We're not producing enough people. So when that happens, your country starts to fade. Because I don't know about you, but I'd like Social Security to remain viable. And the only way you're going to do that is if you have workers out there paying into that system. But at the end of the day, if you're illegal, if you broke the law, I'm not on your side. If you walked across the border thinking you're going to get a free ticket in here, then I want you going back and standing in line like everybody else. I've got friends that are from Mexico, and they immigrated. I've got friends from Canada who immigrated. They're pissed off about it more than anybody because they did it by the rules. And now all of a sudden, these people are coming along and doing whatever they want. They get in for free. When my friend has paid over, I don't know, $15,000, $20,000 to become a U.S. citizen, and he did it the right way. So I just think it's funny because now DeSantis, in a just a brilliant act of defiance, flew 50 immigrants up to Martha's Vineyard and dumped them out on the ground, basically, and said, here you go. You know, free-range people. Go, you know, I don't blame him. That's what I would have done. These people, and they're acting like he broke the law, that somehow or other he was smuggling people across the border. Oh, my God. It's okay for Newsom to hand out tickets, 14 years ago, trying to get rid of illegal immigrants, or homeless especially, in his city. He wanted them the hell out of there, so he was buying them tickets. Get the hell out of here. Take this ticket and go wherever you want, but don't be here. He's raising hell. He's saying that DeSantis broke the law. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. DeSantis is not chaining these people in and holding them against their will. They're saying, hey, I want to go to Martha's Vineyard. There's a lot of rich people up there. Maybe there's some jobs I can get. Hey, give me the ticket. I'll run up there. Fly them up there. They dump off 50. And suddenly you would think that the world had ended. We did everything but call in the Marines and the Air Force. They wanted those people gone. They were there one day. Now this is a community. I believe it's of like 1,700 people. Okay, now it blossoms during the summer to like 200,000. Okay, so at one point you can have 1,700 people there that live there. The 1,700 people that live there. And then you blossom to 200,000 during the summer, but you're telling me you don't have room for these people. That's ridiculous. That's ludicrous. That's That is NIMBYism at its finest. That is being a hypocrite at a level that I didn't even think was possible. And what do? They shuffled them off to a military base where they're sitting now. And they're saying, well, we can't have them here. We don't have jobs. We don't have a room for them. That's not quite true, because if I'm not mistaken, let me see here. I was looking, let's see here. I believe it was, 17,000. I'm sorry. The island's total population is 17,000. Okay. Now, whoops, something happened in my computer for a second there. Had a little glitch there. But it balloons to nearly 200,000 when tourists are there for the summer. They said we don't have any jobs for them. But that's funny, because the local paper was just full of blue collar jobs that are available. I mean, it really is. I saw the picture of the ads. I mean, it just goes on forever. They need plumbers. They need people to work in the, people are trying to hire people that cut the grass. And I mean, it just goes on and on. But we can't have them there. We can't have them. And if you send any more, we're going to do something. We don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to do it. Now, mind you, this is where Barack Obama lives. Yeah, and a lot of rich people. If I'm not mistaken, I think Bernie Sanders has got a place up there. So you would think that they would just be welcoming these people with open arms and saying, come on in. I mean, if they were smart, that's what they'd do. And that's why I say, when I'm sitting across the table from somebody who's a liberal, I want to know what you're thinking. What kind of logic are you using to defend these people? Is it just that you hate the other side so badly that you're not willing to get along at all, ever, no matter what we do? I don't understand it. I really don't. And I would like for somebody to explain it to me. I would like to have someone defend that position correctly, not just go out and say things that don't make any sense. I want you to defend Martha's Vineyard for turning these people away. I want you to defend New York City for turning these people away. I want you to defend Washington, D.C., for turning these people away. Now, mind you, these are all sanctuary cities. People who just love the immigrants, bring them in, we love them. Give us your huddled masses, but we don't want them living by us, right? So at least be honest about it. I want the person sitting across the table from me, and we're having a conversation. I just want you to admit that. That's all I want. You don't have to defend it anymore. You can't defend it. It's hypocrisy at its finest. There's no getting around that. It's hypocrisy, and you would have to be brain dead not to see that. So obviously, it doesn't matter what we say. So I personally believe that we should just dismiss you completely, because it's like talking to a child. It really is. It's like talking to a child, and it's embarrassing. I'm literally and figuratively and physically embarrassed for you as a liberal, as someone who would defend this kind of nonsense, lunacy. I just can't do it. Now, by now, this person has probably told me to go F myself and got up and walked away, because they don't want to hear this, and they certainly can't defend it. They just can't. You can't defend this kind of behavior. It just doesn't work that way. No one can. You can't defend a commander-in-chief that's a complete and total fake. I mean, there's no getting around it. This guy is not qualified to be dog catcher. And yet, we've got him in the White House. So, these kind of blunders, I'm sure that they're indicative of a bigger problem we've got. It really is. Every time he goes on national TV or talks for himself without a prompter, he makes a complete and total fool of himself. It's just uncanny. And don't forget, in the famous words and the thoughtful words of Barack Obama, and this is a direct quote, I've seen it more than once, I've looked it up, it's absolutely true. He says, never underestimate Joe's ability to fuck things up. So I stand by that. I stand by that. I love that statement. I think it's accurate. It couldn't be more accurate. Yeah. The audacity of these people, it's really embarrassing, and it infuriates me sometimes, because no one's called on it. The mainstream media, they just go away. And the fact checkers, by the way, I'd like to know where the fact checkers have gone. Where have they gone? Why has fact-checking disappeared under Biden? I mean, when President Trump was doing business, it was like every day. Sometimes by the hour. The 45th president's every word was scrutinized. I mean, it just was. But under President Biden, fact-checkers apparently have taken an extended vacation. They're off for the next 4 years. Because I've seen guys, I remember this one guy. What is his name? Daniel Dale. He's a prime example. He's a CNN fact checker. From June 2019 until November of 2020, Dale appeared or was mentioned on CNN more than once a day on average. Now this is according to Mediate. That's a firm that keeps track of stuff like this. Now, that's more than 500 appearances or mentions on the national network in the span of just 16 months. But Dale has become a fact-checker version of Edward Snowden under Biden. He's almost impossible to find these days. In fact, Dale has not conducted even one fact-check of the president since June. Now it says, of course, Biden supporters, which I would be sitting across from, will insist that Dale simply doesn't have any material to work with. But that is absolutely not true. In August, Biden declared that inflation in July was zero. And we all know that's not true, but no one said a word about it. Last week he claimed that the Inflation Reduction Act, last week Biden claimed the Inflation Reduction Act, which numerous studies have concluded will do almost nothing to reduce inflation, had already helped reduce inflation at the kitchen table. In a related story, food prices rose again in August, with the Consumer Price Index up at 10.6% over the year. But nobody says a word about it. Nobody fact checks this guy. So I mean, to claim that the networks are not biased is just, it's more than I can bear. It makes my head want to explode. It really does. Okay, so back to Joe. Apparently Joe, because he's a green agenda president, okay, he transported to the Queen's funeral. He was transported to the Queen's funeral in the gas-guzzling car, the Beast. Now, if you know what I'm talking about, it is the car that's the presidential limo. It's called the Beast. It weighs about 6 tons. It's really heavy. It's heavily enforced. It's got a bulletproof glass, which I don't know if you know what bulletproof glass is, but it's about 4 inches thick. It's got, it can run with all the tires blown out. It's quite an animal. Well, apparently he got caught in traffic going to the Queen's funeral. Now, mind you, Macron and the New Zealand Prime Minister and several others, they rode a bus to the funeral. But Joe, he didn't think that was right. He didn't want to ride the bus. He wanted to bring this gas-guzzling piece of junk over there, which, mind you, they had to fly that over in a cargo plane. So for Joe to attend this funeral, his costing the American taxpayer probably millions and millions of dollars. Yeah, but hey, that's okay. Mr. Green Agenda, it's okay. We don't care. We're burning gas left and right, but those rules don't apply to Joe. They don't. Again, we go back to rules for thee but not for me. Again, another hypocritical way of living your life. It really is. It's beyond anything I've ever seen. Let's see, what else we got here? World Economic Forum pushes surveillance system to track everyone's carbon footprint. So, get ready for that. You've heard of the smart meters that most electrical companies are installing into their meters. They say it's so that they can keep track of your use, so that they can bill you for the right amount. That way, don't have to have somebody come by. That's nonsense. That's not what it's about. They want to be able to know how much energy you're using. And they're all over the place now. Everybody's got them. So it's just one step away from them telling you, you've used enough this month, we're turning you off. Who's to say they won't? Who's to say they won't? Let's see. Oh, yes. This is a big one. And I won't go long today. I'm at 39 minutes. So I would try to keep it under 45. Clinton Global Initiative is relaunched. Now, we're relaunching it. Now, if you're not familiar with the Clinton Global Initiative, that's basically a money laundering deal where Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton sell their access to overseas entities. They sell their access so that they can get agendas pushed within the United States government for a price. Okay, it's pay to play. That's all it is. It's always been that. Don't let anybody kid you. Don't let that person sitting across the table who's a lefty try and defend this. I've read book after book about this. These people pocketed all the money. They people in Haiti hate these two people, to Bill and Hillary Clinton. They stole all the money that they took in for Haiti after the earthquake. Clinton's kept it all. And the only reason they had to relaunch this is because she started that ill-fated, doomed campaign for president in 2016. And then they found out, because of people started looking at it, and let's see, I think a year, what was it? The Clinton Global Initiative abruptly ended after Hillary Clinton launched her doomed presidential campaign. A year before, donations plummeted by 37% in the wake of the allegations that Clinton used the charity to solicit millions of dollars from foreign governments and corporations in exchange for allowing entities favorable treatment while she served as Secretary of State. Okay? So what she's hoping is that the public's memory is not real long. She's hoping that she can go back out and start collecting money, saying she's going to help this crisis or that crisis or this initiative or that initiative, or we've got an earthquake over here, we're going to take all this money in, and what are we going to do with it? Well, we're certainly not going to send it to the people that need it. That's crazy, because they're usually dark people and they're poor, so we really don't care about them. What we're going to do is we're going to keep the money. So if that's okay with you, that's what we'd like to start up again. It's a great money laundering deal. It really is. They can literally live lifestyles that you can't even imagine. And it's all chosen as an expense to this Clinton agenda, this Clinton Global Initiative. That's how they do it. Every trip they take, every car they drive, every piece of furniture they purchase, all shows as an expense to the Clinton Global Initiative. That's what this is all about. That's all this is about. It's about money, just like it always is. But I think it's funny. I think that a person, again, I go to the person that's sitting across the table from me who's a lefty, they love this group. They love the Clintons. They really do. They love them because they're completely and totally ignorant about how things work and history. They would rather watch CNN and MSNBC and have them tell you that all people are bad, all Republicans are bad, and that Trump is a bad guy. And that's what we will repeat. We wouldn't want to think for ourselves. And that's what the liberals do today. The liberals out there do not think for themselves. It's an impossibility. They can't do it. It is literally not in their DNA to be able to think for themselves. And it's sad. It's sad. And we're being led by a group of these people right now that cannot think for themselves and are so corrupt and want to make money so badly and are so desperate, they're willing to sell their soul to do it. And that's who's sitting across the table from you. Next time you talk to a Democrat, next time you talk to your liberal friends who are sitting across the table, remember I said that. These people are not smart enough. They're just not. I'm not saying I'm a genius. I used to be a Democrat. I am nothing now. I'm not Republican. You think I'm a Republican, you're out of your mind. There's no way I am. I am a common sense person, bottom line. I think whatever's best for the world we should do, or the country we should do. I don't pick a party anymore. I just don't, because they're all bought and sold by the same people. Oops, I'm almost over. Guys, I'm glad to be back. I'm going to do as many as I can this week. Got a busy schedule, so we'll see what we can do. But I wanted to get this one out there. I had a few things to bitch about, and I hope I I hope I hit some high points for you, so you could nod your head and go, that's exactly right. So that's where we're at. I appreciate you listening. It helps on my therapy bill. I don't have to go to the psychiatrist all the time, or my therapist. So, appreciate you listening. And remember, it's September 19th, and Joe Biden is the worst president in American history. Let's go, Brandon.